Good morning. I said my name's Toby. Most of you will know me, I'd imagine. I feel like I know most of you. But if you don't, I'm married to Nettie, who is playing keyboard this morning, blessing us wonderfully. And we have two kids. Now, I'm just going to jump right in. This is a huge topic. I'm going to be talking about prayer this morning, which if there's anything you could feel less qualified to talk about in depth, I feel like prayer is up there just because it's such a huge topic. There's, you know, no end of Bible verses you could look up to talk about prayer. And actually, we talk about prayer a lot. You know, even this morning, we've been invited to a Zoom prayer meeting, a week of prayer. We have prayed for Sam. You know, there's a lot of prayer, isn't there? There's a lot of chat about prayer. And hopefully, we're going to look at some practical. I'm going to try and offer some practical things if I can this morning. In an effort to help those of you that maybe struggle with prayer. In fact, when people say, we're going to pray for this or pray for that, you're like, oh, cool. I'll let the guys do the hands and I'll stand at the back and shut my eyes and look sort of holy, but actually I don't really know what I'm doing. Maybe that's you this morning. Now, I wanted to start with just a thought I had to begin us off. Now, I wonder who saw the film Aladdin as a child or possibly an adult? Or repeated it as an adult, because they're a man-child. Yeah, okay, that's me. I love the film Aladdin and watch it all the time. I genuinely enjoy it. Now, when the first time you watched it, how many of you thought, if I had three wishes, what would I pick? Anyone think like that? Maybe just me? What were they? Anyone feel brave enough to shout out what their wishes were? Anyone want loads of money? Yeah? I think it's okay. There was a girl I really fancied at school, you know. Guess what one of my wishes was? You know, loads of money. Maybe you wanted success. Maybe you were thinking, I'd definitely wish for more wishes. Maybe you wanted Superman powers or something like that. I know that anyone that's seen that film will have given it a moment's thought, wouldn't they? If I had three wishes that could come true, what would I pick? Now, we, rightfully so, don't treat prayer like that. Or at least if you do, maybe shouldn't. But we can have different ways of viewing prayer in terms of how we treat it. Some of us might believe or have believed in the past that prayer is a bit like wishes. You just send your wishes up to God and he's like some genie that will maybe only give you three, or you'll have a quota. Maybe you can't wish, oh, God answered that prayer, so I probably can't pray another one for a while or whatever. Or maybe for you it's a bit more like submitting an application form. I don't know if any of you have had that joy of sending any sort of application form and you're sort of thinking, if I don't use the right words, if I haven't written the personal statement correctly, then I might not get the prayer answered. I wonder if maybe some of you view it like that. Or maybe it's a bit more like a referral for the doctor. Like, you'll speak to Jesus, you'll send your prayer to Jesus, and then he will refer you on to God if it's a good enough prayer, and he deems it a worthy problem for God to solve eventually. Jesus is God, of course, but that's, you know. But you get the picture, hopefully. I'm not, trying to change the theology or anything. But and maybe, I don't know if that's like you, I know certainly over the years I have probably treated it, maybe not in as many words, but I may have treated it like that or something similar too. Now, with those things in mind, it can be difficult to even want to pray, because if we're not using, you know, if we don't have the right attitude towards prayer, it can kind of put us off. Especially if we think it's like an application form, because who wants to fill out an application form? So we don't do it, or perhaps we don't feel that we want to, it's something I hear a lot, is that I don't think prayer kind of works, so I don't want to do it, or at least I don't do it that often. So I sort of struggled, and I sort of had a thing, and I thought, what stops us praying? Let's start there. What stops us doing it? And totally, if you feel that prayer is anything like the first three things, that will invariably stop you doing it. But I wonder if any of these things speak to you. These are the things that I think, if you really boil it down, if you spoke to anybody that says, I don't pray, beyond I don't believe in God, but I suppose ultimately you could boil it down to these four things. I forget. And what I mean by that is, not that you forget exactly, but you, because we all pray for a parking space, don't we? On the way in, we're like, oh, please, there's a parking space there. or oh, please say the queue's not too big, or whatever. So I think we all do that. But I'm talking about intentionally putting time aside, I suppose, is what I'm saying. Not just random little thoughts to God or whoever to answer this in that moment. Number two, I don't know what to say. That can be an objection for some people. God has a plan anyway, and I don't think it works. Okay, those are the four things that I think can be objections. Not objections exactly, but perhaps reasons we don't feel that we can pray. Now, with I forget, as I said to you, I'm talking about intentionally carving out time, not just your random car park prayer, okay? So I don't think any of us actually forget to talk to God exactly. Most, certainly Christians, I would say, regularly are sending our little text messages or sending our little thoughts up to God in those kind of, even if it's just those small, and I'm not devaluing those, I'm not saying those aren't important. I think it's crucial that we pray for things in the moment when we remember them. Sometimes actually you've just forgotten that you need to pray for that thing and you don't have time, so you go, oh Lord, just deal with that situation. And that's all you can do for the time being. I think that's okay. But, you know, carving out a time of prayer is more difficult and certainly the kind of thing we would forget about. Now, I don't know what to say. This one is actually one I've probably found hardest over the years because sometimes, believe it or not, life is fine. It's not particularly great. It's not particularly rubbish. It's fine. And in those moments, we might just not know what to say. Thank you, God, for a day that I had, that I've now finished, or whatever. It's hard, isn't it? Sometimes we don't really know what to say. We're stuck for words. My brother-in-law, Ali, he sat over there. Should we give him a clap? Isn't he great, Ali? He was playing bass this morning. He'll hate me for this. When I first got married, me and Ali still did quite a lot of things together. We went to the gym together, we played football together, we were in a band together, we played at church together, and any family meal we would both be at. So over a week, it was quite conceivable that I had seen him every day, maybe several times in one day, perhaps. So when it got to Sunday afternoons, when I'd seen him all week and we were driving to his mum's house, it would be a completely silent car. Why? Some an onlooker might say, well, these two don't like each other very much, and he may not like me, and that's fine. But it's actually just because we had exhausted all conversation. I couldn't readily say to him, how was church this morning? Because we were both there, in the same band, most likely. I couldn't really say, what did you get up to over the weekend? Because I was probably with him on several of those activities. We just had nothing to talk about. And I think, you know, there's a comfort in that, actually. We weren't particularly unhappy in that silence. We were content. And sometimes our relationship with God, our prayer relationship with God, can feel a bit like that. I'm fine. I've got nothing to pray for. Life is just plodding along, as it does often. God has a plan anyway. Well, we can kind of talk our way out of praying for something because we feel like there's no point because God will sort it in the way that we kind of put our holy disclaimer on the end that says, well, God, do what you want to do and it doesn't matter what I say. We kind of do that, don't we? Like in a sort of, and I think it's important to say not your will but mine, but we kind of treat that as a bit of a disclaimer, like that we won't disappoint ourselves if he doesn't answer because we said, not my will, but yours. So that kind of protects ourselves a little bit, doesn't it? And I think we can often... Oh, I've gone back a slide. I didn't mean to. And sometimes we can definitely treat it that way, and that puts us off. I don't really know if this job's right for me, so I'll kind of do it, and I won't really pray for it, because if it's right, God will do it anyway. Anyone ever done something like that before? I think I have, for sure. And it kind of helps you to not be disappointed if something doesn't happen. And finally, we don't believe that prayer works. Now, I'm going to talk about this more in depth because I feel that this there's a lot to explore here, and in 4 hours, I don't think I could get to the bottom of this. But have you ever had a colleague or a housemate or something that you ask them to do something a few times, and then after a few times of asking, it doesn't happen, so you just sort of give up, like load the dishwasher? and then you ask the second time. Then after a week or so, you just go, I'll do it myself. Because there's no point asking anymore, is there? Because you know it's not going to happen. Maybe you've got a colleague like that. Perhaps some of us treat God a bit like that. Well, I asked once, I asked twice, didn't happen, so I'll just stop asking. God is not your housemate that needs to do the hoovering, by the way. Just don't make that parallel too closely. But we can treat God that way. Kill the microphone. There we go. We can treat him that way in that we ask him a few times. So you say, look, God, I've been patient. I've said what I want to say and nothing's changed, so I'll just drop it. Or like he's some irritable parent that you can't ask for something more than a few times, and you know, because he'll just get annoyed at you if you keep asking. Maybe some of us feel that way about him. So with these things in mind, what can we do to change them? What can we do? How can we inspire ourselves to pray? How can I inspire you to not forget to pray? That's kind of a big ask, isn't it? And certainly more than I feel that I could do on my own this morning, but we can do this together, and I've got hopefully some practical tips to help you as well, as well as some other things as well. Just as a caveat, I am not the master prayer who knows everything about prayer ever and ever will. This is a journey we can all be on together. In fact, it's a journey we're all on different stages. So some of the things I'm going to give you this morning, some of the practical ideas I can give you and will give you, for some of you might just be, actually, I don't need that, because I'm sort of maybe further along than that. And that's fine. That's okay. This is for where you want to put yourself on that journey. This is for you to use or not use as you feel appropriate. For some of you, you may feel like, oh, I'm not ready for that yet. Well, if that's the case, then maybe do half, or maybe do a bit, or maybe try something of what I say and see if it works for you. I want to encourage you this morning, whatever happens, I would love you to change something about what you do. It might be a tiny thing, but I don't want you to be content with the way your prayer life is now, because I think we can all be better, can't we? So let's not be content. Maybe you're thinking, you're looking at me thinking, you probably don't have anything to teach me about prayer, so I'm going to disengage for the next 20 minutes. I encourage you, if there's one thing I can give you this morning that's going to help you change the way you pray, that we can all move along our journey together, then to take that this morning. Right, so I forget. The biggest and most helpful thing we can do to not forget is to make it regular and make it a habit and to make it all the time. In fact, Colossians 4, verse 2, we would get to the Bible today. I'm there now. continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Continue. Keep going. Do it a lot. Okay? Steadfast is not I prayed twice and then gave up because you didn't answer. Okay? Keep going and keep it doing. Who has a calendar on their phone that they use and actually use? Anyone? Okay, anyone got a to-do list thing on their phone, an alarm that they can note down what it is? Right, get out. We're doing something today. Get your calendar out, get your alarm out, get whatever it is you're going to note down. You're meeting up with a friend tomorrow. Okay, now if I said to somebody today, let's meet up, let's hang out, let's get dinner sometime, and then we parted ways, do you know what would happen the following week? We'd have exactly the same conversation, and we still wouldn't. Because what you've got to do, you've got to get a date in the diary, haven't you? Otherwise it doesn't happen. Is that just me? Is that just our household? You'll get a date in, haven't you? Come around next week. Come around Saturday. You free Saturday? Let's do it. Right, tomorrow you've got an appointment with Jesus. Okay, you're gonna log it as an appointment. And you're going to, I don't mind when on Monday you're going to do it. If the afternoon is better, if the evening's better, if the morning is better, I don't mind. Pick one. You're going to make a little 10-minute moment. And you're just going to, for now, we're just going to write just prayer. That's all you need to write. I don't mind when in your day you do it. I can't believe I'm making you get your phones out in church. It's all right. You have permission. Now, you might not. Me and Nettie have a shared calendar, and it's just come up on my phone, but I need to pray tomorrow morning. There you go. So if we're going to make it regular, if we're going to be intentional about our prayer life, let's get it down somewhere we're going to remember to do it. And for me, you know, and Joe was saying actually last week that he can't have his phone on when he's doing the prayer and when he's reading the Bible and stuff. That's fine. If you've got a different way and a more helpful way to write it down that you're going to pray, use that. But for me, having an alert come up on my phone is a helpful reminder. We've got prayer meeting tomorrow morning. Maybe you just need to set an alarm for that. Go ahead. Go right. You have full permission to set your alarm for tomorrow morning to join the prayer meeting. I do not mind. Right. There's another thing as a second to this with I forget and kind of the second point, which is I don't know what to say. And we'll get to these points in a second. But God also says to keep it simple. He says, don't pray like the Pharisees with, and basically what he says is kind of long words and jargon and whatever else. It kind of goes with what to say and forget. It's kind of a bit both, so I'll put it here. You can keep it as simple as you like. God is not judging you on the words that you are using to, it's not an application form. You don't, you know, use, your prayer won't be heard only if you use the right words. You know, it's not like, oh, you missed out a good theological point there. God is full of grace, so full of grace that it really doesn't matter on the words you use. But I would encourage you to use some words. Sometimes praying out is helpful. Praying out loud is helpful, even if it's incredibly simple. But if you are still unsure of what to say, here are some things. If you've got that phone out that you just took, you wrote down your appointment, feel free to take a picture of this. And if you have no idea what to say tomorrow morning, start with this. You can use this to help you. So start with adoration, thanking God for who he is. That's a great place to start any prayer because you can do that regardless of how you feel. Okay, so Psalm 107 just says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. If you've got nothing else to say tomorrow on your prayer time with God, you can say that, right? We can all say that, because his love endures forever. It's a great place to start, and I'm modeling this a little bit on the Lord's Prayer, and that's where the Lord's Prayer starts, where he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Kind of holy is your name. So that's where the Lord's Prayer starts, and Jesus told us that was a great way to pray. So that's, I'd say, a fairly solid place to start, if we're going by any model. And then petition, which is praying for your situation. Okay, so that's kind of number two. And it says, I didn't actually write them, but I did on there. Hebrews 5:7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Now, you know, this bit here, he said, offered up prayers and petitions. Jesus prayed for his own situation. In the Garden of Gethsemane, most famously, Lord, take this cup from me. He was praying for his situation. Do that. If maybe life's fine, maybe it's not. Maybe it's rubbish, maybe it's great. But we all have situations that we would love to be transformed by prayer. And if the situation cannot change, we can pray that God would transform us in that situation. Because sometimes that's actually what God wants to do. It's not change the situation, it's to change us in the situation. So that's number two. Number three, intercession, praying on behalf of others. We just heard an amazing testimony of Simo's being cancer-free. Amazing. Do you know what we did a few months ago? We prayed for him. We've just prayed for Sam and John as they move on. We can pray for others. And if you're struggling to pray for yourself, I can promise you there is somebody in your life you can pray for. Maybe it's your non-Christian friend. Maybe it's your Christian friend that's in a dire situation or a job missing or something. I don't know. I don't know all the situations of this church. But with every person here, there'll be three or four stories of people they can pray for. So I encourage you, can you do that? So that's 2 Corinthians 1:11, which says, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So that's written to the church of Corinth, and he is saying that there was favor granted because of the prayers of many. People prayed for them, and favor was granted. So let's continue to pray for others. And finally, confession as well, which is Psalm 32:5-7. So I'll jump onto that in a second, but I did just want to go a slight... I've got my notes in the wrong order here, but I'll come back to something in a moment. With praying for others and praying for your situation, we then hear a bit of a stumbling block, which kind of feeds into my next point, but I'm going to put it in here as well, which is, Toby, that's all well and good. I'm hearing you. I'm here that you want me to pray. But my main objection is that prayer doesn't seem to make a difference. Or at least, I feel like I pray and nothing happens. You've told me to pray for other people. Well, I did that and nothing happened. Firstly, I think I just want to say there's been countless testimonies of prayer absolutely transforming a situation. And even this morning, we've heard some. But sometimes, obviously, prayer is not answered in the way perhaps that we would hope it would be. In Matthew 8, 22 to 27, I don't have actually time to read. In fact, no, I do have time to read all of it. I'm going to read it to you because I think this is very helpful picture for us. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes, he put his hands on him, and Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Pause there for one moment. Jesus prayed for something, for healing. Was the man completely healed first time? He said he could see, but there were like trees walking around. His vision was still blurry. It wasn't quite answered in the way that we might have expected. Because when else has Jesus kind of prayed and it's not happened straight away? It's probably only one other instance. But anyway, and then it goes on. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. Going back to my first point, well, I prayed a couple of times and it didn't work, so I gave up. Even Jesus had to pray a couple of times for some things to happen. And if he has to do that, then maybe we just need to be more committed to it. Maybe we need to give it more time. Maybe we need to give it more than our little arrow prayer. Maybe we need to fervently and come to God and say, "Lord, I've prayed about this, but I'm praying about it again because you said you would hear me when I come to you with my prayers." Even Jesus had to do it sometimes. And sometimes I think I forget that. And I think, well, I asked you once. Come on, what do you want? You know, so anyway, I just wanted to, we'll kind of come back to that again a bit later on. But, and finally, I've got to confession and reconciliation and listening and contemplation. So for listening and contemplation, Romans 10, 17, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Prayer, has often been said, is a conversation. It's not your to-do list that God needs to answer, okay? And it's often said, and this is not a new picture, but when, you know, if your relationship with your parents or your other half, your spouse, your best friend, was only ever you talking, it's not much of a relationship. We need to be ready to hear God in return. Many people would say you've got two ears and one mouth because you need to listen double the amount of time. I'll let you decide if that's you or not, but for sure, we do need to be ready to listen. Not just talk at God all the time. Although we are encouraged to talk to God, we are equally encouraged to listen to him and what he has to say. So, if you are unsure of what to pray for tomorrow morning, you could boil it down to four very simple sentences. Thank you, God, that you have made the world and you died for me. Pick a rubbish situation and pray for it, if that's what you've got. And equally, you can just say, Lord, I pray I have a really good day today. I'm a bit worried about this meeting. I'm a bit worried about that, or whatever it is. Do you have a friend that needs someone needs some prayer? Lord, I just pray for ... I don't know their situation, or they're going through a tough time, or they don't know you, Lord. Can you help them? And then confession, you could just say, I'm sorry for being a bit rubbish this week. That's all right. Be honest. Keep it simple. If that's all you've got, then say that. And then listening and contemplation, just take a moment. You know, Joe gave a great talk on reading your Bible. That is God's primary way of speaking to us. So use it. Yes, you're not listening with your ears, but I don't know of many people that say that God comes in this big booming voice all the time. In fact, I know very few people that say that. Most often people say that they speak through the Bible, they speak through the worship, or they speak through songs, or they speak through different things. But we've got to be open to listening to those things. So that's, I don't know what to say. That was quite a long point on that one. I've got two slightly shorter ones for the next two. God has a plan anyway. What I would say to this, thank goodness he does. Some people use that as a way of saying that I shouldn't pray because there's no point. But wouldn't you much rather pray to a God that knows what he's doing? I would, for sure. If you imagined God is like a boss that has absolutely no clue what they're doing, you would never go to the master in anything, would you? Because you'd be like, oh, yeah, he doesn't know, or she doesn't know, so I'm not going to ask him for anything. I think I can safely say, thank God he has a plan. That's got it. Oh, we good? I just use the handheld, Nathaniel. Can you hear me right now? Let's just mute this, shall we? Right. Yeah, thank God he has a plan. Thank God that we're praying someone that has got a plan and knows what he's doing, because I certainly wouldn't pray to someone that didn't. So when we come to God in prayer, let's remember that and let's be mindful of that, that he does have a plan, but that's good. It's not bad. It's not a bad thing that he knows what he's doing. Right. Finally, I don't believe prayer works. When you pray, we need to decide what we actually mean by it working. When you say, does prayer work? What are you saying doesn't work or does work? That he doesn't swoop down and be at your beck and call immediately? Do you know, God always hears you. And it's okay that sometimes the answer is no. It might not feel okay, it might feel rubbish. But the reality is that sometimes we feel like prayer doesn't work because maybe we haven't understood what prayer is for. Prayer is about building relationship. If I have a conversation with Nettie and I've talked the whole time and nothing immediately changed, do I say, well, that conversation didn't work? That didn't work, did it? What was I trying to get out of the conversation? We're building relationship. And in that sense, every conversation we have works. Because every conversation, we get to know each other a little bit better. Perhaps, maybe that's how you need to view your prayer life with God, is every conversation, two-way conversation, is getting to know God just a little bit better. And every time you read the Bible, it's building your relationship with God. It's getting to know him a little bit better. So I think there is obviously a lot more I could say about prayer not working. That's a deep theological conversation. And I encourage you, if you've got more questions on, you know, actually I'm desperately praying in this situation and nothing's changing, I'm not trying to dismiss that. But what I'm saying is that when you come to God with your petitions and your prayers and your intercessions, it's so much more than just your tick list. It's building a relationship with God. And in that sense, every prayer is so worth your time. Because some people might think, it's not worth it because he doesn't answer. Every prayer is worth your time. Because every moment I'm building a relationship with God is worth our time, I assure you, and I promise you that. I want you to try and just take a moment to imagine a friend that only rings you when they want something. Isn't that annoying? I've had a couple of times where I see a phone number come up. I'm like, I haven't talked to you in a long time. And I know immediately it's because they need something. It's not because they just fancy a catch-up after a while. Do you think God ever feels like that about us? Like, we only go to him when we want a thing? You know, if someone rung me every other week and they just wanted a chat and a catch-up, that feels so much better, doesn't it? Because you know when you answer the phone, you're building a relationship. It's not just what are they going to get out of the deal. And I encourage you to view that way. I'd also recommend a couple of books by Peter Gregg, who is leader of 24/7 Prayer. He's done God on Mute and How to Pray, both great books. I've taken some of what I've said from there, but I would highly recommend them as a resource. They're very short and definitely worth doing. So how do we respond to all the things I've just mentioned and I've just said? I'm going to leave that up there because I think it might be helpful for some people. Obviously, as I said, like if that's not a helpful model for you to follow, then don't use it. That's okay. But it might be helpful to some. I just wanted to really land, just as we kind of come in, we've got a little while, we've got just over 10 minutes, and part of this is going to be communion, but we're going to do something a bit crazy, and it might be a little bit, not uncomfortable exactly, but a bit different. I'm actually not going to ask the band to come up. They're going to stay, so we're not going to have Holy Spirit piano playing. I know, but we are actually going to take some time to pray this morning as individuals, as people of God, and we're not necessarily going to pray for each other, although you may choose and you may feel led to pray for someone in your prayer time, but we are going to do that together. And to help us do that as well, we are going to be taking communion, which I'll ask Steve to come and help with in a minute and guide us through that. I don't think it's right that we talk about prayer with any depth without actually taking time to do it this morning. So I just wanted to, we're going to start there. Can we all stand just for a moment? Now, you don't need to pray a big prayer out loud. Some of you might kind of feel a bit uncomfortable in the quiet, but I encourage you this morning that we don't, actually, just and Andy's word really kind of helped with this morning, is God doesn't want the extras. God doesn't only arrive with Holy Spirit piano. We often make a joke about that in the worship team, that you need the pads before the Holy Spirit comes. We don't need that this morning. We can just come to God as we are. No extras, no decorations, you know, just as the people of God this morning, and we can come to him with our prayers. So just, I encourage you, just close your eyes just for a moment. And I'm just going to guide us through this just a little bit. There's nothing super holy about me talking you through it. And if you feel there's things you want to start praying, feel free to go ahead. But I'm going to pray through, in this order, a few things just to help us along. But as I do that, I encourage you to join in and pray. Maybe you've got some people and things you want to start praying for, and you want to do that out loud, that's fine. I don't expect a big hubbub of noise. You can do it in your head as well. But Lord, I just want to thank you for who you are this morning. Thank you for the fact you are a wonderful God, an amazing God, and your love endures forever, forever. Out of the silence, the roaring lion. Oh, the words of that song, Living Hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who rescued me. Lord, thank you for rescuing me. You've broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Lord, I thank you for that this morning. And Lord, I come to you with my situation. Maybe even now you want to just kind of name it in your head, just as an individual. You just want to name a situation in your heart. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's an illness, maybe it's an upcoming test, maybe at home even there's, you know, waiting on PCR results or whatever it is. Lord, I just pray into that now. We know that you have a plan, and thank you so much for your plan, Lord, but we pray into that situation that you would transform it or us in this time, as we struggle with this time, and struggle with this situation. And Lord, I pray, I'm not going to name them, but Lord, there's a few of my friends, Lord, I know they need you so much. I pray for them now, Lord. I just pray that you would speak to them. Maybe even this week, Lord, I would get a text from them just to open up a great conversation. Maybe they would just be more open to you than ever before. Or maybe they'd speak to somebody else. It doesn't have to be me. I don't care if they talk to me, but I want them to talk to someone about you, Lord, because I want them to know you. It's not so I can get a little nice, you know, gold star from you, Lord. I just want them to know you because I fear for them. I fear for the choices they make, Lord, and I pray that you would come into their lives now, Lord. Lord, in your timing, Lord, I pray your mercy and your grace on them. And Lord, I pray for ourselves as there's so much of your grace, Lord, that you even say we can pray for you for our lack of faith. Lord, if you're stood here now, if you know, and we're thinking, I don't have faith for that, you can pray for faith, that you have faith. Lord, I thank you that you can do that for us even this morning. And Lord, I pray for when I've got stuff wrong, Lord, and